Okay, you can hang out with me. That's great. You can stay right here while I tell you about what we're going to do, which is we're going to go from the book of Hebrews, just the last few verses. It's about the Bible. It's about the Word of God, which is kind of cool.
Do you read the Bible, Sandra? Do you read the Bible?
Okay. Maybe your mom reads the Bible to you. Okay, well, we'll take care of that. We'll get her a Bible. We'll read her a Bible. So let's read the scripture, just a few verses here. You may remember the context from last week. It's talking about rest. How do we get that rest? Maybe we'll find out today. Will we find out today, huh?
Absolutely.
We're going to find out how to get some rest. Okay, well, let's pull off on that. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. For the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are accountable. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we did, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. Let's pray. Lord, help us to find that rest. Help us to enter into that. Lord, help us to trust your word. Teach us to come boldly before your throne with even the smallest thing, and Lord, certainly with the biggest things. Lord, we know that we will find your grace, your care, and your mercy there. Help us to understand that and to approach you because we know you love us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Drama team, I believe it is up to you.
Jason's birth mom yesterday. Yeah. And then there's other things, sometimes big things, sometimes little things, but there's things in our life that trouble us, that grieve us. Lena and her family have been through a lot of grief. We're wearing orange ribbons because of families that are experiencing some really difficult things. And we want rest. We want it really bad because we're tired and we're anxious and we're burdened. There's stuff in our life that wears us out. And it happens regularly. Have you noticed that? That it happens regularly, that there's stuff that comes up constantly that just wears at us. I'm going to give you the answer to all of that in the next 2 minutes, and then you can sleep for the rest of what I'm going to say. So if you pay attention now, you'll be good. You know what I think rest is? I think rest is where we align ourselves completely and wholeheartedly with God, where we trust him completely and we determine in our heart to do things his way. That's where I think we rest, where we go, okay, it's not up to me anymore. I'm putting my life fully in the hands of God, and I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to do things his way. And when we do that kind of alignment, there's something in our spirits that rests. I really think that's the ball game right there. So the Bible says to make every effort to enter this rest. And rest takes effort. And you know what I've learned? If like rest is trusting God takes an enormous amount of effort. Unless you're like superhuman, and I'm not. So For me, trusting God takes effort. So if something happens in my life, some trial comes along, right away I'm going to find myself out of alignment. There's something where I'm just going to go, you know, this is hard, this is tough, I'm scared, I'm troubled, and I know that my place of peace is to trust God. So I do the work of aligning. I assess my life, assess where my alignment is, and I start trying to get it together. To get my heart aligned with God and His will, and to get myself to fully trust God and His will. So the first thing, there's four ways that I want us to put in effort to enter God's rest. The first one, of course, is get it together. Get it together. Sometimes there's a sin issue in our life. There's this one part of our life that we're like, you know, God, you can deal with all this. In fact, I want you to answer my prayer requests over here. But I have this area of my life that I'm not willing or ready to give you yet. And this area is mine. And I know, you know, I mean, someday I may give it to you, but right now this area is mine. And so we're going to interact on all this stuff over here. For a person like that, I promise you there's no rest. I have good friends in my life who are living like that, and they are tormented because they know they can't fully trust God and fully put their life in God's control because they have that issue. They know that, and so there's no rest. The other thing is, you know, in the Israelites, they didn't enter God's rest because of disobedience. And they had a way they wanted to live and a way that God called them to, and they didn't want to bring those two things together. So I have talked about my manager at work. He's such a great illustration to this. And he told me one time, he goes, I believe one way and I live another. This is John Hackey. I believe one way, I live another, and I just don't want to bring the two together. And I was like, John, well said. You know, well said. You have defined it. And I told him, I said, I'm going to use that with people because that's why we don't have rest. We live one way and we believe another and we don't want to bring those two together. Well, if we're going to have rest, we need to, number one, get it together. Bring what we believe and bring our life and bring those two things together. You know, that's what a Christian is. I think sometimes we think a Christian is someone who has a belief system, and it's not. A Christian is someone who has a belief system and a life, and they bring those two together. And there's a lot of people out there who call themselves Christians that have the belief system, but their life is so separate from that. Or they say a little prayer and ask Jesus into their heart, and so they establish a belief system, but then they have their life over here. And what I think Scripture says about being a Christian is you trust God and you align both those things up under the cross of Christ. You align what you believe and you align your life, and you determine to do that. The second thing is we trust as Christians in what is reliable. The thing that is reliable, the only thing that is fully reliable for our whole heart is the Word of God and God's truth. That's what's reliable. And I have noticed in my life, in the life of my friends, in you, that we have the tendency to want to trust in things that aren't reliable. We want to trust in the government to make decisions that are going to make our life smooth and safe. And we find that's not reliable. We want to trust in our retirement program, you know, the things that we have established for retirement, and then we find that those things aren't reliable. Or we want to trust in a relationship. We pick this person and then we find out that they're not reliable. So we have all these things that we want to do because those things you can almost touch, you know? And God calls us to trust Him, and it's this faith thing, and we're believing what we can't touch and what we can't see. And so that's why our reflex is to go and grasp with both hands what we can see, even if it's not reliable. So we need to get it together, and then we need to trust in what is reliable, which is the Word of God. It's the only thing that I promise you will not let you down. The third thing is to enter rest. We need to let go of what we can't control. And when the Bible says make every effort and strive to enter God's rest, when I think of how we make every effort and we strive, a lot of times we're striving and we're making effort to control things that we can't control. We have a person in our life that we see messing up, making poor decisions. And so with all our being and all our will, we're willing them to do the right thing. Do we have any control there? No. But we're striving there. And we're striving to make that work. But what God says is, he says, stop striving for what you can't control and strive to trust me. Strive for alignment with me. All right, you guys getting this? Get it together. Trust in what is reliable and let go of what you can't control. The fourth thing is, don't be afraid. To live a life of faith is really scary. It really is. You're going to feel at times like, if I do things God's way, if I align myself with what he wants me to do, it's like jumping off a cliff. It makes no sense. It feels incredibly unprotected. It feels vulnerable. You feel exposed. It feels crazy. And I'm saying, he's trustworthy, and jump. Jump off that cliff. Trust God with everything you've got. So take the faith in what you know. Take your life, put them together, and jump. And trust God. Trust your GPS. So those are the four things. You got it, guys? It's get it together, trust in what's reliable, let go of what you can't control, and don't be afraid. As Christians, let me tell you some reasons why we don't have to be afraid. Jesus is not going to reject or abandon us. When our heart's exposed, and when he sees who we really are, and I know us, I mean, I know me, and I know you, we're pretty messed up. And God sees that, and he doesn't abandon us. Now, we can abandon him. We can say, okay, this is too much. I'm going to go trust in some other things. But God wants us to remain in that alignment, exposed and open and trusting him. And that is scary. That's scary. But I encourage you to move beyond your fear and do that. Because we have a high priest who makes us right with God. We're there. We're not right, but Jesus steps in to make us right with God. And the scripture says that we receive mercy and grace when we need it most. I like that line. It's going to show up when we need it most. And I take that as a promise of God, that if I'm going to live in alignment, if I'm going to trust him with my whole life, if I'm going to jump, then the grace and mercy is going to show up when I need it most. All right, now we need to talk about the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something that I'm fully convinced of, absolutely, hands down, fully convinced of. Prove me wrong on this. I do not think that you can have or enter God's rest. I don't think you can enter God's rest without the Word of God being an integral part of your life. I just don't. If you want to understand what it means to trust God and to enter that rest, you have to have an integral relationship with the Word of God. The people that I know, Janine is one of them. My friend Wendy here is another. And there's more of you in this room too. But what happens for us is when we go through a trial, when we go through something difficult, the first thing that we want to do, our reflex is, okay, I'm feeling out of alignment because I'm scared. I know God is someone that I can trust. And we go and we dive into his word because we want to be back in that place of alignment. And the word of God is life-giving to us. It is so necessary. I don't think, could you do it? Could you follow God without his word? Could you trust him without his word? No, they're nodding no. And I don't think I could either. I know I couldn't. I am so dependent on God's word for perspective. So that means, I mean, this is big and profound, but you guys are going to have to read it. You're going to have to find your Bible, dust it off, and read it, or get the app and read it. The word of God is living and active. If you want God to be living and active in your life and in your heart, then you have to integrate your life with the word of God. Memorize it, meditate on it, Read it. Talk to your friends about it. Refer to it in everything you do. Navigate your life with the Word of God because it's reliable and it's not going to let you down. Now, some of you may not have a relationship with the Word of God, but that's not really going on right now. And that's okay, because you can go home this afternoon and get your Bible and read it and start developing that relationship with Scripture where it integrates into your life and it starts determining your path. It is living and active. It has a unique energy, a unique relevancy that transcends cultures, transcends time, and transcends the chapters of our life. I'm going to talk about Phil Hall. I had a friend, Phil, Wendy knows him, and this guy, I like the guy. When I lived with him and his wife years ago, he told me, he goes, "I don't read the Bible anymore, I've read it." And you know, I know he's different now. I know he's different. I've talked to Phil, his life has changed. But what he said is, "I already know it. You know, I read it. I'm familiar with it." But the thing about it, if it's true that it transcends time and cultures and chapters in our life, what that means is that when Phil reads the Bible now, it's going to resonate in his life as living and active in a way that is radically different than it did in other chapters in his life. Amen? Yeah, so Phil is reading his Bible again, and I encourage you to do that too. The Word of God is sharp and it's penetrating. If you want God and His Spirit to penetrate your life and get in there, then the Word of God is the way to do that. It says that it divides between the bone and the marrow. And I didn't know exactly what this means. I had to research it, because I'm like, well, okay. What does it mean for God's Word to penetrate between the bone and the marrow? And the bone is like, it's so us. It's like this outer, hard, stubborn shell that we have, where we trust our own understanding, you know, where we've got it together, where we've got a plan for our life, you know, we know what's going on, or Beth has a plan for your life, and it's not of God, you know. It's this outer thing that we are so convinced is going to protect us and keep us safe. But the Bible penetrates that to the marrow, and the marrow is this living inner part. It's this inner living part, the marrow of who we are. And so the Bible, Scripture, God's Word, God's truth, gets in there. It gets in there. And we completely give our life to God, we're in alignment, and then we look in His Word, and we look to align and live our life within the context of His Word. If we're doing that, stuff's going to change inside. Stuff's going to change, and you won't be able to help it. I think about Tana and Kirsten and how their relationship with Scripture changed when they started reading it. And when Tana first came to City's Edge and she was reading her Bible, she read it using her own understanding. And so she'd read some things, and she's like, "This is a good verse. I like that. I'll put it on my fridge. This I don't quite get. Doesn't really navigate with, you know, my worldview, so I'm going to leave that alone." And it was fine. I mean, I was just glad she was reading her Bible. I was glad she was coming to church. But it's dangerous if you completely and continually expose yourself to the Word of God. And when I talked to Tana a while later, a few years later, I noticed that there was a transition in her life that was pretty radical. She was no longer looking at Scripture through her understanding. The Spirit of God had entered her life, and suddenly the Bible became an authority in her life. And if she didn't understand it, she knew that she was the one out of alignment. It wasn't that Scripture was out of alignment with her beliefs, so she would dismiss it. She knew that this is what's true, this is the Holy Word of God, and I need to completely align my life with that. So if there's something in there that I don't get, I know it's true, and I'm the one who needs to move over and align. I saw Kirsten, too, when Kirsten was kind of coming to City's Edge and started reading her Bible. She said, that's Tana's sister. She said to me, she goes, "I don't know what it is. The Bible has never made sense to me, but it's making sense now." And she says, "Why is that? Why is it when I read the Bible now it's making sense?" I said, "Kirsten, you might be a Christian." And I said, "You know what happens is that when we start opening up our life to God, and His Spirit enters our life, and we start aligning what we believe with our life, the Spirit of God starts working in Scripture and bringing it to life in our heart, and it starts making sense." It divides the soul and spirit. It divides the bone and marrow. It gets incredibly personal. The thing that I want you guys to do this afternoon, I really do want you to assess what kind of alignment you're in before God. Are you in a place that you still have stuff that's keeping you from being fully present to God and His will for you? Is there an area of your life that you don't want to get over, give over to Him because of whatever reason? Because you're scared, because it's like jumping off a cliff, because there's shame there? Evaluate where your alignment is. Because if you're going to enter God's rest, the only way to do that is to just fully surrender your heart to God. Fully give in to His way of doing things. Fully trust in His truth that's reliable. Does that make sense? And if you're out of alignment, you want to get in alignment, and you're like, okay, how can I do this? You've got to confess whatever that is to another brother or sister in Christ. Confess it to another Christian. Because being wholehearted is a process. And make sure that who you're confessing it to is nice. You know, that they're going to listen to you, hear you out, and process with you. How do you get into alignment with the word and the truth of God? When you do that, you rest. And I have battled for rest many, many times in my life when something has gone on, and I know that the only place that is reliable for me to find peace and for me to find alignment is in the shadow of my Savior, you know, in the place of completely trusting Him. And you guys are Christians in here. Most of you are Christians in here. And you've been doing this. I know that. Because I talk to you. And I recognize the tension in your life. And in the conversations that we have, I hear you saying that I need to trust God in this. And so when it says make every effort, you're doing it. You're doing it. If you're a believer, you're naturally doing this. I'm not giving you something new to go home and try. You guys have been doing this. You've been trying and putting your effort into trusting God. And it takes effort again and again and again. Dan, you almost ready to do cleanup?
I can do it if you want.
Okay. This is my prayer for you. May we get it together. May we trust God and do things His way. May we fully trust in the reliable Word of God. May we trust God with what we can't control. May we find freedom from fear in Christ. May we receive mercy and find grace when we need it most. And may we enter the rest that is there for us when we act and respond like the Christians that we are.
There's very little heresy I actually
was
have
it?
To fix.
Not much?
Yeah, it wasn't half bad.
Gosh, I'm improving.
Yeah.
Dang.
Just two things I want to remind you of looking at verse 14 and 16 here. Two things. It says, gives us two kind of practical bits of advice. Hold firmly and just go ahead and shut that off because that. Hold firmly and come boldly. Hold firmly and come boldly. And I don't know what just happened in my notes. There we are. You know, when you doubt, when you're going through a difficult time, when something hits, when life becomes very difficult, it reveals what you believe. It reveals what you really have faith in. It'll tell what you run to, how you try to fix it reveals what your faith is. And sometimes I think that God brings these trials, brings these difficulties into our lives just to reveal to us where our faith really is and to remind us that it doesn't work unless our faith is in Him entirely. I mean, we've tried it all, right? You try all the different kinds of things to fix it, whatever that problem is. You try to fix it with money. You might try and fix it with alcohol. You might try and numb it. You might try and fix it by, you know, calling up a friend, whatever. He says, hold firmly to the truth. And he goes and talks about how Scripture reveals to us God's plan. Remember how when we started in the book of Hebrews, we talked about what the Bible is all about. And if you don't know this, it's kind of the key to the Bible. It just sounds like a bunch of bloody sacrifices and leprosy and names of people that you can't pronounce. But if you don't understand this key, that's what it'll sound like. And that key is Jesus Christ. It's what it's about. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of rules and weirdness. And then when you understand, it unlocks what Scripture is about. The truth of Scripture, it's there to reveal us as weak and foolish people. We don't know how to fix our own problems. We don't even know how to be happy. We try. We got all kinds of ideas. I think the answer is to be popular. So if you can work that one out, just do that. He says, hold firmly to what you hear from my word. And that's that Jesus Christ is the answer. The last part is come boldly. And thanks for hanging out here in the sauna with us, because it's muggy. It's warm. It's probably 85 degrees in here. And you guys look all sweaty, and it's pretty cool. Not nearly as sweaty as me. My forehead begins to glisten. You can see it's got kind of a... All right, yeah, that was gross. Sorry. So come boldly to the throne of grace. You ever think about that? That God's throne is a throne of grace. That's why we can come boldly. It's not this king that we have to approach like you read in the book of Esther, and because, you know, I could just not hold out my scepter and you're dead. That's not the throne we're talking about. God's scepter is always extended to us, and he says, come boldly. It's a throne of grace. It's not a throne of judgment. It's not a throne of law. It's not a throne of authority. For us, it's a throne of grace. That's his intention, meaning that he wants to give us everything that we need. Pretty cool. We don't always know what we need. He does. It's pretty cool. And then it says, where you will obtain mercy and grace just when you need it. And I think it's important that we get that sequence right. Mercy and grace. Really, the key to the good news is we need mercy. Mercy is that idea of, I'm a sinner. I've tried. I really don't have a clue how to fix my problems. You're the only one who can fix it. I need your mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting more than you deserve, right? The good stuff. Mercy is saying, I need help. Help me. I don't deserve what you offer me, which is life, and I come to you there. And then he gives us more. He gives us grace. So that's all I wanted to really say, and I think that probably ties in with what Beth said. So thanks for hanging out. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have revealed your love for us, your plan for us, the fact that you are merciful, that you've given us, that you are ready to give us everything that we need. Lord, teach us to trust you completely with every part of our life, not just the parts that we feel okay about or that we are willing to, but every part of our lives. Teach us to trust you and bring it all into the light. You see it all anyway, Lord. Who are we fooling? So, Lord, help us to do that so that we can find rest. In Jesus' name.